through that.
I think it might confuse me.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fine.
You
know, it's fine. It's stuff people.
Plus, they might have issues if I'm like, I'm more for my benefit than me.
This meeting of the Senate Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee will come to order. And for committee members' sake, we're going to try and get through all of the county-based purchasing legislation this afternoon, and then this evening we reconvene and we're going to deal with a lot of dental issues. And so we have a fairly lengthy agenda today. In order to give the committee has not had an overview, a discussion of county-based purchasing yet, so what I'd like to do is start by having a couple of people representing the counties give a brief overview on county-based purchasing, maybe a 3 to 5 minute kind of overview. And I guess Mr. Goff and Ms. Caldwell are going to do it. And then while they're coming up, then I'd like to have it where the five bills are presented, and because they're slightly different angles on how the bills deal with certain things, I'm wondering if it would probably make sense to have each of the bills presented, witnesses testify, and then we come back to them for voting on them. If that strikes members okay, otherwise we could just have the members present the bills and then go back one at a time with witnesses and everything. Is it okay to make sure people have a sense of what all is on the table at least? Okay, well, why don't we start with the presentation and then members, let me know if you have a preference.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Patricia Coldwell. I'm with the Association of Minnesota Counties. I am not one of the parents of the county-based purchasing legislation, but I have heard quite a bit about it in my time at AMC and my previous work working in state government with the health department. So I could give you just a little bit of a quickie overview, and then I would ask Mr. Groff, who was actually involved in the development of county-based purchasing down in the southern part of the state, to add a little bit more information. County-based purchasing was passed in Minnesota statute, I believe, in 1997, and it originally began when the state first started expanding the prepaid medical assistance program, which had previously been a demonstration project statewide. At that time, counties were concerned that about a number of different issues. One was that in moving towards managed care for serving people under 65 for health care purposes, providers in particularly greater Minnesota would not be led into contracts with health plans, or health plans would not be utilized. So they were worried about providers up and moving out of the metropolitan area and kind of losing that robust area service delivery system. They also had some concerns that health and social services would not be as well positioned to be integrated together as they had been in the past. And they saw county-based purchasing as a kind of a good way to be able to try to work towards integrating those services better than they had done even under fee-for-service. And then finally they were worried about cost shifting to other parts of county government if managed care organizations covered only the health needs of the person and were not responsible for their social needs. Their social needs may become more acute. So basically, they were striving to achieve that, and I think the solution that came about was in order for them to be able to integrate those health and social services, they really had to meet most of the legal requirements to become a managed care organization. So at that point, there was a process whereby counties that were interested could elect to pursue county-based purchasing, and one group of counties in south central Minnesota, for the most part, tried to do that. And at this point, there are, I think, all or parts of 27 counties served by county-based purchasing organizations throughout the state. And the products that they are responsible for have expanded from the prepaid medical assistance program to include the Senior Health Options Program, Minnesota Care, and then in some cases the Special Needs Basic Care Program. So basically seniors, people with disabilities, and then also people under 65. So that's kind of how they function. The county-based purchasing groups, there are three of them right now, and then one other that has been authorized to begin: Prime West Health Systems, South Country Health Alliance, Itasca Medical Care, IM Care, which was actually one of the PMAP demonstration projects, and then most recently Steadfast Health Plan, which includes Olmsted County. And in all of the areas except for IM Care, they are joint powers boards of counties. So the County Board of Commissioners actually serves as the governing board and then employs staff to work as a county-based purchasing organization. And please, other people, if I've misstated or spun that a little differently, you know, correct me when you get up. And I'll just ask Mr. Graf to add anything else about kind of the origin and history.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Stan Graf. I'm a policy analyst at the Association of Minnesota Counties, but most all of my career was spent in the counties as a director of County Human Services, and spent my last 25 years at Steele County Human Services, where I was one of the founders of South Country Health Alliance. Only county commissioners can actually found it, but there's work in advance of all of that. And in our case, in South Country's case, and there's all kinds of people here from South Country Health Alliance, so I won't dwell on that. I can say that it began operations in the year 2000. Prior to that, IM Care did exist as a single county option, and following the formation of South Country Health Alliance, Prime West came on board in the next year or two. In our case, we used as a third-party administrator the health plans, one of the health plans, and eventually more than one of the health plans, for the operation of the organization. And that's different from the other county-based purchasing entities, and that may come up again later. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my testimony for now.
Mr. Chair, just one more comment as we kind of move ahead with this discussion today. I think that one of the insights or learnings that I've had in working in this issue has been that county-based purchasing entities did not really function with a somewhat different goal than that of managed care organizations. They didn't set out to necessarily become a health plan. That was really a means to an end for them to be able to provide health and social services for the people for whom they bear financial responsibility in their districts. And for those people who are lower income or vulnerable or both, their need for their health is not dependent only on the medical care that they receive. And so this is one model to try to achieve that. And some of the challenges that we're trying to bring to you today around this single plan option or limiting choice are really designed to figure out how can we best approach that. So this is, we're presenting, I guess, a series of solutions to maybe sort of address that issue, and we hope that you'll consider those and maybe look at how we can move forward with that issue.
Thank you very much for the overview. Any questions from the committee? If not, thank you. Senator Lori, maybe we can start with Senate File 3181. And I guess what we'll do is have you and your witnesses, and then we'll move on to the next bill. Voting.
Try to move this bill? Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. We do have 3181. I do have an author's amendment to clarify one issue that was before us. That's the A1 amendment. And then I'll just describe the bill with the A1 amendment in it, if I can.
Senator Lori moves the A1 author's amendment. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 3181 is really an attempt to return to the legislative intent regarding those county-based purchasing systems that are up and running today and I believe have been doing a good job. One of them is operational in one of my three primary counties that I serve in, and I think is of great benefit to us. It essentially modifies the dispute resolution process used by the commissioner by changing the makeup of the three-person mediation panel and a few other changes when contractual disputes arise regarding county purchase arrangements. It also clarifies some of the procedures for the periodic re-procurement when it is necessary. The author's amendment that I just did really kind of changes it so that when the re-procurement comes up, we're talking about plans that were in effect as of March 1, 2008. So when you go and read that, it says May 2006 plus through July of 2008, and that didn't make a lot of sense. So really what we're talking about is Prime West had three counties added recently to their existing county-based purchasing program, and so the existing statute and coverage of the county-based purchasing plans needs to incorporate those three additional counties being added. In Section 1, Paragraph A clarifies the requirement for county involvement and input applies to the implementation of all prepaid health care programs administered by the commissioner, and obsolete language is stricken. Paragraph D, again, refers to the mediation panel, suggesting that the third member be selected jointly by the county appointee and the commissioner's appointee, rather than, as is current practice, by the commissioner of health. Paragraph F states that that third member shall not be a member of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Paragraph G requires the commissioner, at the request of a county-based purchasing entity, to adopt a contract reprocurement or renewal schedule under which all counties included in the entity's service area are reprocured or renewed at the same time. And paragraph H requires the commissioner to submit a report describing the activities undertaken by the commissioner to ensure full compliance with the section. Sections 2 and 3 are really conforming sections. Section 4 is, again, to the mediation panel, the makeup of the three-person panel, and what happens at the end of the dispute. And again, Section 5 deals with the reprocurement process. Again, that's where the author's amendment goes in, and it refers to those entities in the service areas in existence on March 1st, 2008. So that it is really the three that are in operation today, rather than there's a fourth one coming on. The Steadfast Plan, and we're not really attempting to act on that. But as we have noted, this is a day full of county-based purchasing, so I would assume that some things regarding the Steadfast Plan will be coming for us, but this bill is not intended to do that. And then Section 6 requires the reviser to codify all this language. Right now it is in uncodified portions of the law. So with that, I will turn to my testifiers. First, Jim Frisbilla from Prime West, and Ted Seifert. I think your agenda has somebody else, Brian Nassi from South Country, who was unable to be here, but Ted Seifert is here in place. So, Jim.
Thank you very much, Mr.
Welcome
Chairman.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, committee members, for your time. This particular bill is important to Prime West Health. It deals with a controversial issue. It brings it up. It talks about single plan. Prime West believes that when it was set up with the fact that it wasn't sure these counties would get from a competitive market or a choice of plan what it wanted for its state program participants and for the providers that serve them. So Prime West was set up with those guiding principles. We believe today, we started in 2003, we believe today that we are on the good road of realizing those types of virtues we look for from a competitive marketplace. Because we are a government organization, the things like consumer protection, transparency, accountability are part of our public service mission. Our board is made up of county commissioners who, if you're familiar with county commissioners and have ever been one in a rural county, you're highly accessible to the public that you serve, and that's who we're accountable to. We also believe in maximizing the choice on behalf of our residents for providers and creating a system building on the resources that we generate through Prime West to put back into the system to serve our state public program participants. Prime West calls that community reinvestment. So surplus dollars earned through Prime West are reinvested back, and that's driven by both the consumer and providers providing us feedback on how we can best do that. That's to develop an infrastructure to better serve them. We believe this bill does not ask for Prime West to be the single plan in perpetuity without us deserving that ability. We believe that this is something we've been entrusted with by the state and this body, and we take that very seriously, and we believe it should be reprocured on a regular cycle. We're just looking for a true fairness and objectivity of the reprocurement process, and we believe the language in this statute will provide that, with us an ability to, when it does come up to procurement, that Prime West, as a potential single plan versus another plan or choice of plans, is considered equally and fairly. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Prisbilla. Questions from the committee. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Prisbilla, what are the disputes that have arisen that have caused you to feel a need to have this bill before us?
The special needs basic care proposal process, we submitted our proposal, and we based our arguments on single plan, that we think we can develop an integrated system that could serve individuals with disabilities in a more integrated fashion through single plan. We were criticized by the department for making even what was perceived to be a political statement about single plan when we were actually trying to present a counter model to potentially the choice. Then there was the hearing process, which is outlined in the statute. The arguments that DHS used to support their choice of plan was based on the content of the proposals. However, the panel, the mediation panel, never had an opportunity to read the proposals. So we're wondering how a fair decision was arrived at to concur with the DHS decision. In the words of the county representative sitting on that panel, the word farce was used in terms of that whole thing. We felt like we did not get a fair shake in that. We're just looking that going forward, let's just have balance and fairness, both at local and state input, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess this is just a comment, and that is that I believe the direction that we're moving with health care reform makes sole source purchasing a moot issue, because our clients in our public programs are going to, in the future, have a choice of any provider in the state. And who pays the bills to that provider then, whether it's done on a sole source basis or a multi-source basis, becomes kind of irrelevant. And I hope that the counties are getting ready to administer a new system, because the level of competition will not be based on what is designated in the law as to whether you get to be a sole source provider or not. The real competition will be on whether you are actually are providing value-added services that provide better outcomes and that would cause people to choose to want to be in your plan as opposed to another plan.
We're all for that. If there's no reason for the Prime West to be and there's something, another model, that's something we've always believed.
Right, but it wouldn't, if people are going to have choice, then it would involve you competing with others and having the consumer make the choice rather than having the legislature or the department make the choice.
Senator Lori.
I think that comment is well understood by the plans, and I've actually spoken with them a bit about being prepared for a change in the way we do business. And I talk to a lot of people about being prepared for a change in the way we do business in the healthcare industry tomorrow. But as we're working through these healthcare reform proposals, we do have a system that exists today, and strengthening in statute how the current county-based purchasing plans operate in the instance that they do continue to operate, I think, is still worthy endeavor for as long as it takes to get through some of these reforms. I will speak a little bit to the balance of the mediation panel. Right now, if you look at it, it is a appointee from the Department of Human Services, an appointee from the Department of Health, and an appointee from the counties. And I think that really you can see how that could be possibly in many instances a little bit unfair, whereas two administration officials and one county official trying to be a mediator whenever a dispute arises is not really always going to be the most fair way to mediate. So it's the Department of Human Services, the county, and a third mutually agreed upon person is really what this statute, what this proposal goes to. And I should also take an opportunity to say that the department is right now in opposition to this bill, has a couple of issues that came before us really this morning. We started talking about these, and we have not had time to iron these out in their entirety, but I have made the commitment with our partners here sponsoring this legislation and the department to work with them as this bill moves through and try to get it out of committee today and moving forward. Their issues really are around the reprocurement process and then also in those programs that have Medicare blended services, making sure that the department has viable options to ensure statewide applicability of these programs that they're working hard on. So we're going to keep working on this bill. I think that the department will likely come up and speak to their concerns better than I could. But I am aware of these concerns. They came up rather recently, and we are working hard to get those resolved and have commitments to continue that work. And think that we have every likelihood of getting to that resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Seifert. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Perhaps on your agenda there, you're showing Mr. Brian Nassy, who is the Chief Executive Officer of South Country Health Alliance. Unfortunately, Brian is ill today, and I'm filling in for him. I'm Ted Seifert. I'm a county commissioner from Goodhue County. I'm Goodhue County Board's committee member on the Joint Powers Board for South Country Health Alliance. I currently serve as chairman of that board. I represent an area in Red Wing, Minnesota. I'm very concerned that my constituents, elected as an elected official, that they do receive the best of care, that they do receive choice. And I think county-based purchasing, with its relationship with the county human services and public health, is able to deliver a care model that does that for us, one that hasn't been seen in rural counties in the, up till now. So, with that, I think that Mr. Persibilla has covered the area quite well. I would take any questions that anybody has on county-based purchasing and how it operates.
Questions from the committee? If not, thank you very much. I understand that most of the witnesses who wanted to speak in opposition were going to speak in opposition to all the bills or anything, so maybe we'll do is have presentations on each bill, and then at the end have the opposition make their comments. So thank you very much. We'll just set this aside until we have the other bills presented.
Thank you.
Senator Lynch, Senate File 3031. Senator Senjum, welcome to our committee. Go ahead.
I'm here today with Senate File 3031, and I, along with my good friend and colleague, Senator Senjum, are pleased to be here today. This bill designates Steadfast as a single plan for prepaid health care programs administered by DHS in a number of counties, Winona, Houston, Fillmore, and Maurer counties. I think it's important for the committee to recognize that similar language was passed in 2006 for a single plan status for Cass, Crow Wing, Morrison, Todd, and Wadena counties. This is the norm in counties with county-based purchasing for medical assistance and Minnesota care. This bill does a couple of things. It assigns eligible individuals who do not make a selection where there is a choice of health plans to the county-based purchasing health plan if there is one. So eligible individuals can make this choice annually, and the language would apply to areas that require plan competition by federal law. That's the metropolitan statistical areas. These counties have thoughtfully considered how they might like to grow and develop in this area, and have been working hard to bolster their effectiveness. I have three speakers with us today. Olmsted County Commissioner Mike Podolsky, Winona County Commissioner Marsha Ward, and Maurer County Commissioner Ray Tucker. And at this time, Mr.
Please
Chair,
go I've ahead if you, Mr. Podolsky, you going to start?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead if you're in.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, we're not asking for any money, the first thing. I've been working on county-based purchasing for 12 years. It's the first time that our part of the state it has made money for. We have the unfortunate distinction of being the cheapest and best health care in the state, so we get the lowest possible reimbursement rates from DHS. So it wasn't prudent to go into it, but having already is shown that we are the cheapest and best health care providers in the state, it's only reasonable that you risk a little experiment with us on our steadfast plan. What we have to offer, the previous people mentioned it, is transparency. We hear about competition, but competition between plans is essentially meaningless because the reimbursement and the outcomes are very much the same. And what it does, it wastes money of competition, wastes advertising, wastes duplicative administration, it wastes a lot of money. If you do those things with the local government, which we have no trade secrets, we have no proprietary information, we have no secret algorithms, we have what we have you can see. And I don't know how you guys think that you can reform health care without the transparency that we don't have. You can't tell what's happening to the money. You can't tell what the outcomes, the way it works now. There's a lot of words. People will come here and tell you that you can tell, but you really can't tell. In my 12 years of working on county-based purchasing, we've hired innumerable analysts to go through the data that comes into the state from the health plans, and we find it generally quite wanting in actual information. And I think it's a very good thing for whichever kind of reform you plan to have that the transparency that we offer because we're governmental will let you reform the rest of the state with dignity and efficiency rather than shooting blindly. The other point is, in county-based purchasing, we are the first urban county that is going to do that in Minnesota. Hennepin is doing a form of it, but Hennepin is a world of its own, and they're doing something different, and they've been doing it for years, and we're not like that. But we are the first urban county that's going to do what's considered county-based purchasing. Your first chance to see with transparency what happens in urban counties with this kind of health care. We have that to offer. We're not asking for money. We're asking for sole source and default. You heard that. What those two things do for us is they bring our point of having funds that are available to reinvest in prevention in the second or third year instead of the fourth or fifth year. We can do it either way. If we can get the default and the sole source for our smaller counties, it comes 2 years quicker, and that works either way. Transparency is part of the future. It has to be part of the future of reform, and we have it to offer you. The reason that we're going to succeed is because we know the trade, the counties. We know the population. We've been working with people. The people in our special categories that have different circumstances than the general population. A lot of medicine is practiced with the assumption that patients have a stable social network at home to help them care for them, help them change their bandages, to see, does this look okay? What if you don't have someone who knows if that looks okay? We have experience of generations of dealing with people who don't have a complex social network, and they're not really ready for the kind of medicine that we've been practicing. And even now, DHS has been trying to make the plans go that direction, to go that direction. And what they're trying to do is hire counties. But when they hire counties for our expertise, then they try to tell us what to do, and we don't get to do it as well as we could do by ourselves. And I give a secret. We have an opportunity. If you skip the middleman and let us do it directly, you get the full unvarnished county experience without going through the middleman. If you have a problem with the health plan, you run into a wall of bureaucracy you can't penetrate. If you have a problem with Steadfast, You can come to my front porch on Sunday morning and sit there until we get it straightened out. It's local. It's local. It's local. The people know who the plan is. It's not some anonymous color someplace or some anonymous slogan that you don't know. It's people that you know and see in the town and on the streets every day. It's local. We're small and nimble. We can change. Counties are wonderful at changing. We have put $4 million of local county monies into this fund to run Steadfast, figuring that it's going to work in 4 or 5 years if it doesn't work sooner. And, well, you may think that we're all nuts and we just did that because we don't know any better, but we have seriously, I've been thinking about this 12 years, about this type of thing. And it hasn't, the time has not been right till now. The time is right. 4 other counties have joined. They actually dragged us in backwards. We were ready to quit. And we're ready to do this. Patricia.
Good afternoon, Senators and Chair. My name is Marcia Ward. I'm a retired business person. I am currently a sheep farmer, and I left my sheep barn in targeted case management to my husband this afternoon. And I am a Winona County Commissioner. This does make sense. We are part of the health care reform. It need not be complicated. It need not be political. This is the right thing to do. Counties are measured by how well they take care of their most poor and their most vulnerable, and we do it very well. Today we're here just asking for permission, us small counties down in the southeast corner, to do what you've already allowed a major number of other counties to do. On a local level, human services and public health work hand in hand. Sometimes I don't see that happening at the state level or the federal level. But on a local level, we know our people, we know what they need, we know our staff. And particularly in Winona, I come from the Winona, Minnesota area, I have a health care provider there that is not part of the big network. They are not affiliated with the Mayos and not affiliated with the Franciscan Skemp in our part of the world. They are an independent health care provider. And by us being allowed to do county-based purchasing, we can strengthen that partnership. There is concern of affordable, accessible health care in the rural part of Minnesota. If I can't keep Winona Health strong and viable by being a good partner with them, my citizens, including myself, will not have good health care. So this is a partnership of many partners, not just the state and not just the counties, but of the network that's out there working to provide health care for these people. And it is. It's very common sense. We talk about saving. We're all spending taxpayer dollars. I don't sit on the corner and sell widgets in my off time to pay for the projects that Winona County wants to do. I'm using property tax dollars. I'm using state dollars, federal dollars. This is common sense use of those dollars. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Ray Tucker is with us from Maurer County.
Well, thank you. Mr. Chairman and Senators, there isn't a lot more I can add. I believe that my cohorts here have kind of summed it up pretty well. I'm from Maurer County, and our county at one time had an opportunity to go in with Sun Country, and we rejected that opportunity. So we have studied this for a lot of years, and it seems absolutely necessary for us to be a part of this of Steadfast and to move forward with this health care. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Other questions from the committee? Senator Erickson-Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lynch and commissioners, thank you very much for coming here today. I just want to speak up and thank Commissioner Ward for coming up here. She's a commissioner from Winona County. It's my home county. And I'm very proud that Senator Lynch is chief authoring this bill. I'm a co-author. But southeastern Minnesota, you'll see here on the map, this includes my entire Senate district. And I've gotten unanimous resolutions from every county board, Winona County, Fillmore County, and Houston County, supporting this initiative. So just want a chance to thank Senator Lynch for your leadership and Commissioner Ward for coming up here. And I want to let Commissioner Ward know publicly that I have quoted her in the past. She's one of my conservative county members, and she told me once I was elected and headed to the Senate, she said, keep it rural. And I have said that a couple times up here, Marcia, and I just want to welcome you to the Capitol and thank you for keeping it rural, and I think we're all going to try to keep it rural on this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, and whichever of the witnesses would like to answer the question. So let's say I live in Olmsted County and this bill passes, and I find, because we will have transparency in the future, not just transparency in our public programs, but I find that the provider that has the best outcomes and the lowest cost is in Goodhue, Wabasha, or Dodge County. So will I have an opportunity to go to that provider under your plan?
Commissioner,
you propose a very difficult condition, Senator. I think the way the things are set up now, you're in a provider network. Our provider network goes throughout the five counties. I can't guarantee that whose ever opinion of who's the best provider somewhere will be in the network, but we have all of the predominant healthcare people. We don't have the mucus therapists, and we don't have all the chiropractors, and we don't have a lot of things, but we have most of the.
Thanks.
That's it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you have illustrated my point exactly, because in the future we want people to be choosing based on quality and price and outcomes, and we don't want them to have to choose just from a five-county network. We want them to compare all the providers, and we want them to choose the best one that they can find to treat their condition. And that may not be one of the providers in your five-county area.
The Mayo Clinic is. As a resident of Rochester, Minnesota, I should have to be in favor of what you're saying, because people come from all over the world to Mayo Clinic because it's the best and they live there and spend a lot of money which isn't covered by the health plans.
True if I live in Wabasha County and the best providers in Olmsted, you know.
Well, that works.
Yeah.
Senator, I would ask the question, though, having children that have gone to college in different communities, and I'm not on a public program, I'm on a private insurance. If they're in a college in southwestern Minnesota, I had to go through many hoops, ring many bells and whistles to get them to see doctors in southwestern Minnesota when my basic provider was in southeast Minnesota. So, yes, I agree there's options to do things with private providers, but it is not easy to get care outside your immediate network of providers, even in the private insurance. And
Mr.
I think
Chairman,
an ultimate goal of all the county-based purchasing would be to ultimately, this is just myself speaking, but ultimately to provide crossover services. And I know currently there's a lot of communication going on between the different organizations currently, South Prime Country, Southwest, and Steadfast. So it's a long-term goal. But I urge that the private sector is not totally consumer-friendly in going to different parts of the great state of Minnesota.
Mr. Chairman, and Ms. Ward, they will be under the health care reform bill that we're moving through the legislature. And that's, you know, it's not county-based purchasing that bothers me in these bills. It's the sole source parts of the bill that really bother me, because I think they're moving in a direction that we're not going to be moving in the future. And so you easily could be in the future administering bills to providers in the metropolitan area or in the Mankato area. And I just don't think that's what you're thinking about in terms of trying to set this up. And so it's not that I'm against county-based purchasing. I think county-based purchasing can be an important addition to our system. But sole source county-based purchasing, I think, is a problem, just as any private plan in the future that's going to limit people's choices based on geography is going to be a problem.
Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, and one of the I had sort of a love-hate relationship basically with this bill, actually, because I am very aware of the direction that healthcare reform is going, and frankly share some of the concerns that Senator Berglund has pointed out. But there were two things that encouraged me to move forward with this, and that is, one, I think you all have the handout here that was put together, and Commissioner Paul Dahlke talked about working on this for the last 12 years. And I think one of the strongest stories that has been told coming out of this is that the results really do speak for themselves. And I remember for several years now in conversations with my county commissioners about growing and expanding this, and I always left every single meeting with great comfort, knowing that they were very results-oriented and, in fact, had the data to support the direction that they were moving. And it is because of that, because of their past performance, because of their commitments, because of their willingness to want to collaborate and work together, that I believe that in the new reform model, whether or not it's called sole source community county-based purchasing or not, I'm not sure if that's exactly what it looks like or what it's called, but I do think that below that there are some very strong good things happening here, and I think they clearly understand the concept of the quality and the cost and the effectiveness and the value for the client, and frankly, this will give them further encouragement to move parallel with healthcare reform.
Senator, Madam Chair, I didn't come here to argue with Senator Berglund, who I've followed for years and respect your work over the years. The point remains that we have the people, the attitude, the culture to perform well in whatever form healthcare reform takes. And we have the people, especially in this difficult population that we're talking about covering. We have the know-how, we have the seats and the chairs and the feet on the road, and we know what we're doing, and we can do the best possible job. When some other entity takes on a new task of becoming case manager, funding a case manager isn't the same as having a functioning, experienced, salty old case manager that knows the ropes. And we have the salty young case managers that knows the ropes, and we're ready to do this under whatever umbrella gets put up. One other question, just to steal a second. I spoke before about the waste of advertising, the waste of administration of that form of competition. This is a pre-buttal. Someone may come after us and suggest that sole source could work with the health plan, and I point out that without the transparency that we offer and health plans don't, that can't work in a health plan.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I any of the testifiers can maybe answer this, just so I have an understanding a little better of this, what you're doing and your vision with county-based purchasing. What do you see is, and maybe part of what's been going on in Olmsted County, is the greatest benefit that you provide with your system? Is it expanded access? Is it lower costs? Is it a better delivery, better outcomes? I mean, can you describe some of the real advantages that your alliance provides?
In Olmsted County, we have very nearly universal access. We have Olmsted Medical Clinic, Medical Center, and Mayo Clinic. They're part of our network. We have universal access. We're expecting we're working with the public health model rather than the medical. We're administrating the medical model with public health principles. When you look at the extensions in lifespan that we've experienced over the last 100 years, they're mostly due to public health things. The medical model spends its money in the few months before you die or in the few months when you're newly born. By doing public health model where people live, are healthier, do better things, Everybody beats that drum, but public health doesn't. They've done it for decade in, decade out, century in, century out. Ever since Dr. Snow took the handle off the pump in London, public health has been saving lives and doing a better job at keeping people well and healthy, and that's what we propose to do.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, through your network, you're able to penetrate throughout your county and the like to get to those folks who don't have access at this point for whatever reason, transportation or whatever it might be. Is that correct?
There isn't much lack of access if you're in one of the covered programs that we have already.
Okay. I guess one other question, if I might, Ms. Trent. I don't want to make this a going off into another bill, but this is for Senator Berglund. I mean, from our discussion last week and what they're doing, I don't know if that I see that we can't make both of these work if there's a delivery system that they have, that the reforms that you've been presenting couldn't work together with the delivery model that they have to reach out into the community and get that coordinated care.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Dahl, I am not saying that the counties don't bring value to the table in terms of being able to provide healthcare services. What I'm saying is that if you say that that's the only plan that if you reside in that county that you can get your services from, and under the reform bill that we've been talking about, the lowest cost, highest quality provider for the service that you need is across the border in another county that's not part of that limited network, you're not going to be able to go to that provider. And that is counter to what we had in the bill that we had before us. It's the sole source part of the bills that I think don't work, not the county-based purchasing part of the bills.
Senator Berglund, with your reform, though, I mean, they would, in effect, every health plan, metro area, their county-based purchasing, the Steadfast and so on, they would be, if all the providers are charging the same to everyone and they're supposed to be able to contract with them, it seems to me it's no harder for them to change to cover somebody outside of their county than it is for UCare or somebody else to cover somebody outside of their service area. It'd be the same thing, it seems to me, whether your bill, when it's implemented or under current law, they'd be treated the same as the other health plans.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying that they couldn't function under the health care reform bill that we've envisioned. What I'm saying is that it is counter to that bill to require or to allow them to have a sole contract and that nobody else could serve anyone who lives in that area. And that's the part of the bill that I think is counter to the proposal. And so it just seems to me that creating a mechanism to get more of this going on that isn't going to work with the future of what we're directing the Department of Human Services to do in the health care reform bill doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And, you know, whatever we authorize in these bills is not going to be set up overnight either. We are anticipating that we would be having our state programs entering the new health care reform system in 2009. So it's not a very long time from now.
Senator Berglund, just for clarification, though, when you're saying about them not having the choice of all the providers, it sounds to me like under your proposal, they would be providing them to all the providers, and they would be no different than any other health plan.
Well, except that if the bills say that they have to be a sole source contractor and they're anticipating just having providers in their five counties in their network, they're not going to be able then to meet the need of somebody who wants to be seeing a provider that's outside of their county based on the price and quality that provider offers.
What I'm still trying to figure out, though, is why is that different than, like, if I'm in Health Partners right now and somebody in Olmsted County is not in Health Partners and I want to use them, Right now, I would be out of the network, and under your proposal, they'd be all in the network here, and they'd be all in Steadfast. Somebody up here would be in Steadfast proposal then, too.
Senator Marty, I think the difference is that most of the other health plans have statewide networks already, so they're prepared to use providers on a statewide basis and to pay them out of their current system. And if they aren't, they would have to be prepared to do that, because that's what the legislation is calling for, and so they would have to allow people in their plan to go to a provider that might not have been in their plan.
I don't
understand if we say the only group of people that can administer the payments out of Olmsted County is Steadfast, then, I mean, why would we want to do that if Steadfast is having to make payments to providers all over the state?
Senator Lynch and then Senator Erickson-Oaks.
Mr. Chair, I suspect that as we continue on in our discussions, particularly in this session, that we will run into any number of things that we might be struggling to figure out. How does this fit into an overall health care reform proposal? And so I would just encourage the committee to not get entirely bogged down in that, recognizing that we, one way or another, are all collectively working towards the end of health care reform in a form that is yet to really be finalized. And certainly understand and see very clearly some of the very concerns that Senator Berglund has laid out. Having said that, in the absence of that, or perhaps even alongside that, I think that there's some good things in a number of these proposals that are being brought forth today.
Senator Erickson-Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Berglund, it seems to me with this bill, which Senator Lynch just said, I think, what I was thinking, it seems we're getting the apple cart before the horse a little bit. There's a number of health care reform bills in play, and to be running any of the reform bills through a screen saying, well, how's it going to fit with this reform and this reform and this reform, we haven't even voted on a reform package yet. And once that happens, there's going to be all sorts of adjustments made to the entire system. And what we're looking at right now is a continuous movement on the county-based purchasing model, which has proven very successful. And until the legislature and the governor agree on an overall direction that the reform is going to go, it doesn't make sense in my mind to hold up a bill about future legislation that hasn't even been passed yet. So I would agree, Senator Lynch, you know, look at this bill for what it is in the context of the system we have now, ask some questions, and then move the bill.
Is there,
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner?
We're in this because we want to do better for the population of people that we're talking about. If health care reform generates a situation where we can't do better, we will fold our tents, accept our losses, and leave. We don't have a board of directors demanding a profit. We don't have people making bonuses. We're in it to do better, to use the money of the state of Minnesota in a better way for the betterment of citizens of Minnesota. And if we can't do that, we won't. So I think your fear of the conflict that might happen is real, but it's not going to be a problem because we won't let it. If it is a problem, we won't do it. We'll quit.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on this proposal? If not, appreciate your presentation, and we will set this aside till we get the other bills heard. Senator Erickson-Ropes, Senate File 3241. Oh, is Jan Malcolm here? I was told she wanted to testify.
Okay.
Your daughter's not.
Yeah. Oh, is she up there?
She was earlier.
Just takes me a
4-year. they weren't pounding on the glass.
Oh, I'm sure not. No.
It's just that.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you for allowing us to present two bills today. The first bill is 3241, and this is another county-based purchasing bill, and I would just run through generally what's in the bill, and then we have Stan Groff, who's here with the Association for Counties, to talk about the technical changes. We've heard a lot of testimony today about the general concepts about county-based purchasing, and this looks at county-based purchasing and the way it operates across the state. And Section 1 just clarifies the requirement that county-based purchasing programs apply to all the prepaid health care programs administered by the Commissioner of Human Services, and not just PMAP and GAMC, but it also could include MSHO and Minnesota Care. Section 2 is just deleting and updating language. Section 3 deals with creating a more fair conflict resolution process. Currently, there are two members assigned from the state and one representing the counties. And what we're recommending is to go to a new configuration where we have one person representing the state, one person representing the counties, and the third person would be selected or agreed upon by both county and state. So instead of 2-1, it's 1-1, and then with the third party agreed by both of those government units. Section 4 is more language changes. 5 just updates language. Section 6 is the three-person mediation panel. Section 7 basically requires the commissioner to approve county-based purchasing arrangements if the proposal does not limit choices or access or is out of compliance with any other federal requirements and that everything is satisfied. So basically we're giving other counties across the state of Minnesota, and I think do you have the colored map of all the county-based purchasing organizations? If we can have somebody pass that out to committee members.
Is that the one that's in the...
No, this is a different one. It may have similar information on it.
We'll get it distributed then.
These organizations, you can look at the color chart, already have existing county-based plans, and we did put Southeastern Minnesota in green on the map, even though it hasn't officially been granted permission yet. But you can see that these counties already engage in county-based purchasing opportunities and managements, and they're successful. We would like to give the rest of the state, if they choose and meet all the requirements, the same opportunity that these other counties have. So with that, I will turn it over to Stan Groff for any questions.
Mr. Groff, welcome back.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and members, I'm going to quickly dot a few I's and cross a few T's. The Senator has already done a great job of talking about most of the changes in Senate File 3241. Just like to reiterate that this bill does expand authorities for counties to purchase health care services for medical assistance and GAMC recipients, as well as Minnesota Care and other publicly funded state health care programs. And this provision is repeated throughout the bill, and examples are on page 6 of the bill and elsewhere. So the idea there is to include all health care programs administered by the Department of Human Services, not just some of them. Subdivision 3 deletes quite a bit of obsolete language throughout, and included in there in Subdivision 3 is the modification of the makeup and timeline for dispute resolution panel established in the event that disputes arise regarding PMAP contracting, public health goals, and health plan selections that cannot be resolved between the counties and the commissioners. That's one of two dispute
resolution processes that are changed in the bill, and I'll come to the other one in a minute. Section 2, sub 4, specifies that the commissioner shall assign an enrollee to the county-based purchasing plan in the absence of an explicit choice by that enrollee, and that is in those instances where you have a county who's a standard metropolitan statistical area, so that they have to have more than one plan. Subdivision 7, page 7, again modifies the process for dispute resolution in the event that the commissioner rejects a county-based purchasing proposal. Changes include the makeup of the panel to include a neutral third party, providing background materials, and specifying a timeline. And finally, in page 7 and 8, modifying Section 84 special session law, it does require the commissioner to approve single plan county-based purchasing arrangements after a competitive procurement process if all state and federal requirements are met and where the enrollee choice and access are not limited. It requires the commissioner to continue existing county-based purchasing arrangements, and finally specifies that the commissioner shall limit purchasing of state health plan programs to no more than two plans in areas where choice of plans is required by federal law, or to seek federal waiver to allow only one plan in these areas. And finally, the last line of the bill codifies this section as a new subdivision of Minnesota statutes 256B.692. Mr. Chairman, members, if I may simply comment, in my last 5 years as the director of Steele County Human Services, and in the 2 years after that time when I spent time at South Country Health Alliance, it was the policy of the board to extend coverage for individuals no matter what provider they went to. Without getting into the discussion about provider choice, and that's where the real action is under health care reform, as I understand it. Provider choice is de rigueur in South Country Health Alliance. Whether you're in-network or out-of-network, you have provider choice. Finally, I'm authorized to say on behalf of the Association of Minnesota Counties, as well as the Minnesota Social Services Association, the Minnesota Association of County Social Services Administrators, the Local Public Health Association, the Minnesota Intercounty Association, and the Association of State, the Association of Federal, State, County, and Municipal Employees. Those six organizations have authorized me to report to you that they give our Senate File 3241 their full support. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Groff. Two questions. One on page 3 and 9, you talk about giving notice at least 30 days before the dispute resolution panel meets. Has there been a problem with that? In other words, people are not being told of these ahead of time?
Mr. Chairman, members, it's my understanding in the example that you were previously given on appeal that there was little or no notice. And I'm not sure good public policy says you should give notice. There's nothing in law now that says the department must give that notice. What the county people experienced, and I believe what the panelists experienced, was that they were given materials at the last minute and were asked to judge on it.
And then, number two, you said it was South Country that if somebody wanted to go to provider out of network, you were authorizing that?
Mr. Chairman, members, the person does not have to receive prior authorization in any way. If that person, I live in Medford, Rice County to the north of me, is not in county-based purchasing. If I wanted to go to one of the two clinics in Faribault as a South Country member, I can do that without prior authorization or notification.
So in effect, they would already be geared up if the new reform took effect where you choose your provider. South Country's already there.
Mr. Chairman, members, that's exactly correct. The benefit is that free choice of vendor is not even an issue. It's just exists.
Questions for the witness?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, then what is the reason for having sole source contracting where you would be the only one that would be able to manage those health care dollars for those individuals?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, excellent question. I did a paper last week where I did a study to find out whether or not county-based purchasing can exist in greater Minnesota in a competitive, what we call a competitive environment at the plan level. And it turns out that in nearly every case, county-based purchasing needs a certain level of member acquisition in order to mitigate the risk. And that level turns out to be at about 10,000. Now, there are a few examples that are different from that, but the history of county-based purchasing is that you need about 10,000 folks to even get started. And many, more than one, county-based purchasing entity has stopped their investigation of county-based purchasing because they did not have that requisite number to get started in order to comfortably mitigate risk. So the ones that have started are Prime West and county-based purchasing, of course. IM Care started with 4,500 perhaps, but they share risk with their providers, and so that's a different situation. And I can name other parts of the state that stopped doing county-based purchasing or investigating county-based purchasing because they just didn't have the correct an amount satisfactory to mitigate risk. So you can either have county-based purchasing or you can have plan-level competition, but I would assert that you can't have both. And really for healthcare reform is cost and quality at the provider level, and we feel that county-based purchasing is uniquely positioned to carry out what I believe is the intent of healthcare reform at the provider level. You don't need competition at the payer level. You need competition at the provider level on cost and quality.
Questions from the committee? Senator Berglund.
If a consumer in your plan wants to go to someone that's outside of your county or outside of your network and they need transportation, would you be providing it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, in my experience at South Country, and I believe it's true for the rest, transportation paid for out of the PMPM or other county funding sources would be provided for those persons. Especially in the case of specialty care as well. It's important to get people to the right care at the right time.
Further discussion? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senate File 3299.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is another county-based purchasing bill, and actually this one just encourages us to have a little bit of conversation and clarifying over the federal requirement to have two choices. The first part of this bill simply clarifies the federal requirement that county-based purchasing proposals have to ensure choice of providers. But they do exempt the rural communities from that requirement. This is current law. And then they also put a stipulation on county-based purchasers within an urban area that they have a requirement that requires two different choices. So the question that this bill...
These two testifiers are on 3142.
That's what I thought. Okay. Senator Barney, we're going to back up just a little bit. These guys want to testify on the previous bill. I just charged right on to my second bill. So excuse me.
Go ahead and
they're on the first bill.
Yeah, Senate File 3241. Please go ahead and identify yourselves and make your presentation.
Now that we're on track, Norm Holman, Cottonwood County Commissioner. I also am chairman of the Southern Prairie Health Purchasing Alliance, which is a group of 13 counties wanting to go forward with a county-based purchasing organization in southwest and western Minnesota. I believe you were handed a bullet point of benefits of county-based purchasing. It's somewhat repetitious of what you've been hearing in testimony already by the number of presenters here, but I'll just quickly go through those. First one is that the relationships created with the partners, quality of service, quality assurance, by monthly meetings, meaning the fact that the counties have ownership in things. And when you own something, you take pride in it, you take a better care of the people that you're insuring and you're covering, and you will do a much better job in providing those services. Third, one county plan, county owned, that we're working together, coordinating the full array of medical, public health, and social services at the consumer level. Number four, having a voice in the decision-making process. Five, community dollars or community investment dollars to our local counties. Six, higher rates to local provider rates, mainly being stated that providers are going to receive more compensation than what they currently are, which in the end should provide better health care for our people living in our counties, because the providers are going to say, we're going to be compensated better, and so I'm more willing to have these individuals come to my clinics, come to my dentist office, that type of thing, where otherwise they're going to fall through the cracks and probably not have that opportunity like they should. Seven, billing will be easier with county-based purchasing, single health plan, and timely payments. County-based purchasing is an extension of our county government. It's, like I said, local ownership, and we're going to take pride in that. County board's supportive of staffing and the needs to run this type of operation. It's local, transparent, and integrated. I think you've heard those terms presented here from the past presenters. Believe county-based purchasing will improve the health of our members because providers will be encouraged to meet their needs. Couple downside risks, there's a learning curve of a new system, but that has always been taking place, as it was when AMSHO came on and UCARE in the last year or two. There's always that learning curve, but our employees, since we're part of it, we're ownership of it, they're going to step up to it and do it. And then the second, it will be the upfront startup investments. I think you heard some counties say that they spent, a couple $1 million, $3-4 million, and that's the type of thing, but we're willing to step up to that and invest in something that we own. Shortcomings of what's currently out there is that healthcare funds are not reinvesting in local community health, and the plans keep any excess earnings, and that money leaves the community, where this will encourage the money to stay locally, where we can reinvest it and do a better job in serving our clients. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Thank you, Mr. Holman, Commissioner
Chair.
Holman. In the one of your points about the higher rates to local providers, I know in, I think it was Prime West, has boosted their dentist reimbursements. Has that happened in some of the other plans, do you know? Or
I'm not totally,
up
on that, but I'm thinking that it has been happening. But you're right, in Prime West, I think they're paying 125% to their dental versus 100% what they're currently receiving.
Senator Dow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Holman?
Yes.
Say your name. Thank you for your testimony. I wanted to ask you on the last point, you were keeping excess earnings. What do you use those things for? Is it public health initiatives or higher reimbursement rates? What do you use those excess earnings
for? Yeah, it'll be public health initiatives to go back into public health. There will be some guidelines. I think some of the bills are establishing specific guidelines, so it can't just go back into the general fund type thing and purchase a new grader or a new snowplow truck or something like that. It will stay focused in health initiatives, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions from the committee? If not, Mr. Harder.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is Kelly Harder, and I'm the Director of Human Services in Steele County, and I thank you for the opportunity. My goal and desire of my brief presentation here will be to land a lot of this structural kind of high-level conversation into how it's happening on the ground and have taken a few notes and hope to be able to answer some questions that have also come up. I will focus on how integration and care coordination does happen at the local level. Care coordination, in our perspective, is bringing to life the authentic conduit between the primary health care and the person's social needs. This is fully acknowledging what we know, which is you cannot dismiss the direct effect that a person's social care has on their overall health care. For us, at the core, this is about localized, personalized, and relational health care. We in Steele County, thanks to our participation as a participating county in South Country Health Alliance, have created and implemented multiple care coordination teams that are all about facilitating and assuring the primary health and social care that it's delivered to the individual in the right place, at the right time, and in the right amount. Our ability to provide needed care, regardless if it is medical or social in origin, happens seamlessly. Our social workers and public health nurse teams focus on the needs of the individual, and we make the systemic adjustments, assuring that the needs are met. That's compared to much of the current system by which we force the consumer, the enrollee, to have to make the adjustment to the complicated payment structure of our health delivery system. Under the managed care oversight of a single county-based plan, efficiency is added in care coordination. And for example, only one set of health plan rules that are needed to be followed versus multiple administrative rules of multiple health plans, ultimately bringing forth minimal benefit to the actual health care being provided. That also goes toward the actual providers in that they have a one-to-one relationship with a plan versus multiple plans that have unique billing processes, appeals, and prior auths and others. We view our care coordination teams as virtual health care homes. I say that in the context that we have our workers sitting in the homes of these enrollees. They're having the coffee at their coffee tables. They're sitting on the couches, focusing on their whole health and social care. And they are able to coordinate all of the many facets of that health care service delivery system. In the words of the American Academy of Pediatrics, patient care in a medical health care home is, quote, accessible, continuous, comprehensive, family and individual-centered, coordinated, compassionate, and culturally effective. I will say that is in the DNA of what we do and who we hire workers, both public health and social workers, to do every day, day in and day out, whether it's part of the health plan or not. That is who we are. It's what we do every day as memberships of a county-based purchasing plan. Building and maintaining that home is much easier for our care coordinators and actual health care providers in working with a single plan and one set of rules. Because of our relationship with a single plan that covers all enrollees in our counties, we are able to minimize the bureaucratic red tape that too often gets in the way of the necessary and appropriate health care. We're able to leverage non-primary health care systems such as housing, employment, community mental health, transportation, and others. I think it's important to say at this point, too, which is, for example, in southeastern Minnesota, under a mental health continuum, outside of the managed care dollars, we also have what are called adult mental health initiatives. There's over $1 million put into that. That is not part of the health care delivery system, but it is what will pay for the seamless delivery of the services to pay for transportation if the health plan can't. The counties are in, our incentives are aligned to do this health care and do it right, because either way, we are going to be held responsible for this person's care. Few quick examples of why being part of this county-based plan has allowed us to better meet the needs of individuals. We had an individual recently go into for an annual outpatient checkup. She ends up having to go into major surgery for double mastectomy. When the cloud and the haze clears, she's in a nursing home. Our care coordinator, who works with the nursing home, sees that and works with her son to get her back in the home, because they weren't aware of all the home care that was available for them. So she receives her health care in her home in an environment that's suitable and did not compromise the overall health care. And that's because of our local connectedness that we have with the community. We work with jail reentry programs, not that health care from the managed care plan is paying for the jail health care, but we know when someone's coming out, they'll be eligible for and enrolled in it. We can set in place a lot of the preventative measures for that primary health care to be addressed ahead of time versus in the emergency room. We have what we call frequent flyers who end up receiving their primary health care through the emergency room. We've identified these individuals, and we put teams around these individuals so that we can provide that health care in places other than where it's most costly and the least return on that dollar is shown. When meeting with and discussing the consumers that are enrolled in our program in Steele County, the feedback on our care coordination system is that they repeatedly reinforce our county-based health plan's localness, the personal touch, the accessibility, and most importantly, they are grateful to maintain access to their health care provider. That's the person they're receiving their health care from. They do not and would wish not to have to be choosing between who administers the payment of that health plan. As long as they can see their doctor, as long as they can see their provider, that's the choice that matters, and we reinforce that with them. Our care coordination is all about bringing health care to the consumer and the enrollee, to where health care primarily happens, and that is in the community and in the home, while at the same time keeping the medical professionals fully coordinated to what is going on, to what we refer to as our consumer and enrollee's virtual healthcare home. You know, some might ask, well, why are counties wanting to get into healthcare business? And I think it's a fair question. At the end of the day, this is a population that we are working with already. It aligns the incentives for us as counties to be in this business and both manage their health care and their social care, because it isn't one or the other, it is both. And if we do the right work with the social care, the health care will also be done well. It's aligned at the end of the day, because what happens now, the health plan, other health plans, who do they turn around and contract with in most cases to do the service delivery? The counties. And at the end of the day, the counties are the service providers, and we have this debate about who should be administering the program. The consumers need to be cared for seamlessly. They need to be cared for regardless of county boundaries, and that is something we're committed to, and that's something we'll continue to work on for the good of the consumers of the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Harder. I think particularly with mental health issues, because there's so much the wraparound services that are particularly helpful, but kind of wish I was in your program. questions from the committee? If not, thank you very much. Then Senator Erickson ropes back to 3299.
Yes, thank you very much.
And I'll encourage us to go quickly because we got a late start. If we could get through the last two bills and then some of the opposition testimony would be helpful.
Thank you. Now to my last bill. And I had halfway explained that to begin with. This is a very quick bill. It deals with the second choice federal requirement for urban county-based purchasing proposals to satisfy. And what we're talking about here is that we believe that if the two choices could be two county-based purchasing organizations or proposals. There is no distinction saying it has to be two private plans, one private, one nonprofit. There's nothing except a requirement that there's two choices for enrollees. So we would assert that the two choices could both be county-based purchasing options. So that's the crux of that bill. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from the department on all of these bills, but that's a very simple bill before you.
Thank you, Senator Erickson Ropes. Are there any discussion, any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point out again that in the health care reform bill forward that has been worked on by both the Health Care Access Commission and the Governor's Transformation Task Force, we're calling for case management to take place at the care level, not the plan level. So that would not be something that the plans would be involved in doing.
And Mr. Chair, I would just restate what I said earlier, is that that bill is still in process, Senator Berglund, and I understand it's got a lot of support, but I don't know that we ever taken bills that are in play and used that as the hurdle that every other bill has to leap over before it's processed.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, that's not what I'm saying. What I believe is that we should not be going off in divergent directions here without understanding that. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't be feeling like somehow or another people were misled in terms of what the future direction is that both these groups have recommended. And no, it's a free country. Anybody can have a bill, but at the end of the day, if your bill gets passed and the department doesn't implement it, then you shouldn't feel bad.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair answered my own question. Thank you.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. Chair, I have a question. I'm a little confused about this a question that I think Senator Berglund asked. And I think I would like to hear from you, Senator Erickson-Ropes. If we have a statewide county-based purchasing, do we, by doing this statewide, are we addressing the question that Senator Berglund asked with respect to the limitation on access to providers? Because then if every county is doing this, then there is no limitation because we can access a statewide group of providers. Am I understanding that correctly? I don't understand where the limitation would be. So it would be to our advantage to have a statewide plan because then the access to providers become a statewide as well. So it's more advantageous to have a statewide plan that rather than having a plan for each county. Am I understanding that correctly or not?
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray, I think you probably have about 18 different questions and initiatives going on in that question. But basically, what we're talking about here is we're just giving other counties who are not participating right now in a countywide or county-based purchasing proposal the opportunity to participate if they want to. So it doesn't even go as far as your question. We're just giving other counties the opportunity to do the same thing that these sets of counties have done.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Erickson, Senator
but I Torres-Ray. Think that the question, the I think the, or at least the question that Senator Berglund had was with respect to limiting access to other providers. And so I'm just thinking that if we have a state plan, I don't understand why. Where is the limitation? If we have a statewide plan, there is no limitation. And that is with respect to accessing the provider pool.
So, Senator Torres-Ray, just to clarify, is your question about a statewide plan, if every county was participating in this kind of proposal?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a what-if question. So if every county was participating in a county-based purchasing proposal, I would imagine there'd even be more flexibility to cross county boundaries and at some point cover. I mean, you could go up north if you wanted to, or if you happened to be visiting your family up north and needed to go to the clinic, if the entire state was in a county-based purchasing network, yes, that would be possible.
Senator Torres-Ray, I also
we're
think
we're not there to that point yet.
Even if they don't all join it, it seems to me the one plan that I've heard that allows any provider right now is the South Country one from the testimony earlier. And if Senator Berglund's reforms take place where everybody's charged the same rate to anybody you're dealing with, both the HMOs, all the other health plans, and the county-based purchasing ones, they'd all be contracting with any provider in the state anyway because the rate would be the same to if provider X charges this much, the plans would be dealing with it the same way. So, that's kind of a separate issue than this.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Wergen.
Mr. Chair, I almost hesitate to say it because I'm not sure I've thought it through real well. But I don't think that that's necessarily the case, because there are differences from the way one county or one group of counties handles the whole county-based purchasing than the way another one does. It's not identical. So I don't think those same flexibilities exist from system to system necessarily.
Senator Wergen, regardless, though, of where they are now, if Senator Berglund's bill becomes a case where every provider in the state, if they charge the members of health partners this rate, they have to charge the same to any individual, they have to charge to any other health plan the same rate, and if the legislation requires that a health plan provide access to any provider in the state, then every health plan, including these, would have to do that. It would be the same for everyone.
Mr. Chair, Senator Wergen, it seems like some of these questions are what ifs, and if this bill passes and then this does this and there are all these other maneuvers, would that apply? I mean, I don't think we can answer that question today.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Berglund and Senator Dell.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Erickson-Ropes, one of the other things that I don't understand about this particular bill is why you would want to limit the choice of plan that a consumer could have in our public programs to just two. You said that's the minimum requirement by the federal government, and I understand that, but why would you want to limit it just to two if there could be more choices? Because even if every provider is in everybody's network, there still are issues of transportation, interpreter services, and a number of other consumer support services that are provided at the plan level. And if you as a consumer are not very happy with those services and want a different plan to be providing to you so that you could get better services, why would we want to limit that opportunity to just two?
Thank you. Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, the purpose of this particular bill is not to discuss the number of choices, because that's already in federal law. It's a requirement that you offer two choices. Our focus of this bill is clarifying whether those two choices could be county-based purchasing proposals.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, but Senator Erickson-Ropes, I think you missed the point. If you're talking about sole source contracts, you automatically are limiting your choice. And the bills also limit to sole source purchasing for county-based providers. So, maybe in order to meet the federal requirement, you get two of them competing. You live in that particular geography, you're not going to be able to choose any other under your legislation.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, if I'm understanding you correctly, what we're trying not to do is not move away from any other federal requirements as to the number, again, the number of providers. We're only concerned that in the metro area right now, if there's going to be a county-based purchasing proposal, it has to have two choices. And the only piece of this that we're interested in looking at, and not in the larger context of your health care reform bill, but just the language as it exists today, we're interested in clarifying that those two choices of providers could be county-based purchasing.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Erickson-Ropes, I don't think you understand. I'm not talking about in the larger health care reform. I'm talking about in the context of the bills that are here before us today. We're saying, you know, if you live in a county that wants to be the provider to public clients from the state, then you have to, they have to be awarded that contract on a sole source basis. And then we're saying that they can compete with each other to meet the two requirement, but that would be all that there would be two then, and I don't understand why we would want to limit it to two.
Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if I mean, obviously there's going to be a longer conversation, discussion about all this. I like the idea of the county-based purchasing from the standpoint of what I've heard about this integration between social services and healthcare and, you know, the public health, that they're all kind of linked together, and that on a certain level you can get down there and meet with your neighbors and make that happen. And that seems to me where we should be applying a lot of our focus. And that's outside of the larger discussion of, say, payment reform and how we do that. I mean, that's on a different level. I'm hoping that as I'm learning, we start batting concepts around, there's always the details we have to work out as far as how that's going to actually be implemented. And I'm hoping that we're going to find a way to do that, because I like the concept. There's a value to that you can't put in dollars. And I would think that if we did go to a purchasing plan that each county did it on a statewide level, that there would be some reciprocal types of arrangements. So I'm understanding from the testimony we heard that if it is outside of the district or the county right now, if the services were appropriate, that we'd find a way to get those people to that area. But I'm sure that this is something we're going to discuss for quite some time. So
thank you very much. I was told that a number of the opposition witnesses wish to testify just to the first four bills, not the fifth one. And since we only have about 10 minutes, maybe I'd like to start, and I know at least one or two cannot come back tonight. I'd like to start by calling up the first few witnesses. I think in opposition to those first four bills, Ms. Malcolm, were you testifying with concerns about those first four bills?
Yes.
Go ahead up there, and then Anna Tachman, Phil Griffin, and Julie Brunner next. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, and members of the committee. My name is Jan Malcolm. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of the Courage Center. And it's a pleasure to be with you. I think you've heard some wonderful testimony here about the value of county-based purchasing, and I'm not in any way speaking against the value of integration or the importance of county-based purchasing as a tool and an option. The concern or the question that I would raise is strictly with respect to the sole source portion of some of these bills, and I know they vary in terms of their scope and their intent. Speaking on behalf of the clients that Courage Center serves and the partners in the disability community with whom we work on matters of policy, the idea of self-determination and choice has long been an absolutely core value for the disability community and has very much been at the heart of the public policy positions that the disability community has attempted to participate in over these last years. So it's really from that framework, the real importance of choice to our consumers, that we raise a question about the sole source dimension of these bills. And it does seem to us that we have seen benefit on behalf of the people that we serve in the creativity coming from both the counties and the health plans. So in our judgment, it would be a loss to lose the competition between these ideas, and that we have seen some real benefit from health plan competition in adding benefits above the minimum benefits required to serve public program participants. And it does seem to us that, as the committee has been talking about these last few minutes, as all of these different ideas are percolating this session and beyond, that what we should be about is seeking more innovation, not less, and encouraging the greatest possible creativity among the payers of care and the providers of care. And we just question the need for elimination of options at this point in time. So just very simply, Mr. Chairman, choice is a sacrosanct principle to our clientele, and we think this is a time for experimentation, innovation, and maximum attention to the needs of consumers. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Commissioner. Quick question. In other words, it's not just concern, because I think we were hearing that, again, depending on some of the health plans already do it, some of the county-based purchasing entities already do it, but if we were to get to a point where every provider, every health care plan was required to contract with every provider, your concern is beyond the choice of provider. You want the choice of health plan.
Mr. Chairman, yes. That was the spirit of my comments today, is that choice at the level of health plan, we believe we have seen value in the degree to which that has fueled innovation. and the addition of benefits above the minimum benefits, even in our public programs.
I kind of think that some of the counties have been providing a lot more services than the health plans in that, but.
And, Mr. Chairman, I hope I was clear that we have valued the creativity from the counties as well as the health plans, just are concerned about not having that full array of choices for consumers.
Thank you. Senator Dow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one question on that with the plans for competition with plans. If we have a procurement process where they are bidding on an annual basis amongst them, can't we continue to keep that competition and innovation in that area by doing an RFP or something that says, you know, place a bid on the project on this county-based service or that's being provided? Is your thoughts on that?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, I think certainly at the level of details about who you let into the bidding, that's an interesting idea. I think what we're what we know as a fact today is the value that the consumers that we are serving are currently experiencing under some of the integrated health plan products as well as under some of the county-based purchasing products. So we're most concerned that we not lose some of the options and some of the flexibility that exists in the private plan market as well.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have Anna Tachman, Phil Griffin, and Julie Brunner.
Mr. Chairman, Phil Griffin representing UCare Preferred One. If we could ask to have Sue Abderholder.
Sure, Ms. Abderholder, go ahead.
To come back this evening. We'll hold our
testimony. Okay, yeah, and if there are any other opposition witnesses that can't make it back this evening, let it signal to us. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Sue Abderholder, National Alliance on Mental Illness. I just want to remind folks that, you know, last year we went through the whole mental health initiative, and one of the things that came out very clear as we talked to our members and the people we represent is that people wanted choice. And so, much to the disliking of the health plans, we said that it couldn't be a mandatory enrollment, that people had to have the choice, because not everyone wants to actually integrate their health care and their human services. One of the examples that really comes to mind, and I understand, you know, we might get rid of the, you know, you can select any provider in the state, which would be important because some mental health services are very specialized, for instance, eating disorders. But we had some families who came and said, you know, we actually don't want the county to know that we're receiving mental health services. We're afraid that maybe a CHIPS petition would be filed. We don't want them to know what we're going through. And while we've had, we have affiliates in many of the areas that have county-based purchasing, and they've felt, you know, very positively about it, people need to have choice. They might not want that integration of effort. They might not want, you know, the social worker knowing what kind of mental health services are being provided. This whole area, I will agree, is kind of stretches my brain a little bit and my knowledge of how all these things come together. But I just think ultimately what we hear over and over from families is that they really want choice.
Thank you. Questions from Ms. Abderholder? If not, we still have a few more minutes. So, Ms. Tachman, Mr. Griffin, and Ms. Brunner, I'm told you three wanted to come up together. If we don't finish with you, we can finish tonight. Welcome to the committee. Any of you can begin.
We'll let Ms. Brunner go first.
Ms. Brunner.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Julie Brunner. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify today. First, I want to start out by telling you that I am not here to testify against county-based purchasing. County-based purchasing is another choice for individuals in Minnesota healthcare programs, and we support consumer choice. My comments today are focused on pushing health plans out of the delivery of healthcare to public program enrollees in favor of sole source, and that's my issue today. The health plans have worked with county-based organizations over a number of years in a variety of capacities to assist them in their business planning and delivery of services. County-based organizations have contracted with health plans to pay their claims, utilize their networks of providers, and facilitate the development of their business. The development of county-based purchasing has created more competition in the healthcare market and in public programs in Minnesota, which in turn has helped leverage costs and services. This has been a positive development in Minnesota's healthcare landscape. County-based purchasing organizations have served an important role in providing more choice. The objection that the health plans have is the provisions that eliminate choice for individuals. We all know that choice has been a major concern with managed care for years, and that changes requiring prior authorization and the need for referrals to specialists have basically gone by the wayside. Because consumers want more choice and control in their health care, these county-based sole source provisions take that choice away. Health plans have participated in public programs for many years. Health plans believe serving public and public program enrollees is central to their mission as nonprofit health plans that provide a great community benefit. Health plans have invested time, effort, and money to develop provider networks, conduct outreach to connect eligible people with their services, create innovative offerings for seniors and persons who are eligible for both Medicare and Medicaid, individuals with some of the most complex and challenging health care needs, and providing preventive services and incentives for people to get the health care services they need. Health plans have also brought you the Institute for Clinical Systems Improvement, ICSI, and Minnesota Community Measurement, resources that are currently viewed as essential components in our state's health care reform discussions. The health plans are leading e-health initiatives in the state, both in design and implementation of the health information exchange. Health plans have invested millions of dollars in technology for community clinics. The health plans are currently working with the Minnesota Medical Association and the Hospital Association to streamline other administrative activities that will drive even more administrative costs out of our health care system. These are just a few benefits that the nonprofit health plans bring to the health care system in Minnesota. The plans have always supported maintaining a level playing field through the expansion of county-based purchasing, but they can't support the creation of monopolies. Health plan, you've heard some wonderful things about the integration and coordination of services by county-based purchasing today. I can assure you that the health plans have worked to achieve the same results in coordination and integration of services for public program enrollees, often by contracting with counties and close cooperation and collaboration with county social services organizations. Last year, and you heard Ms. Abderholden mention this, last year the legislature adopted milestone legislation to improve the delivery of mental health services in Minnesota. This legislation was crafted to build on new and innovative collaborations between counties, health plans, and providers to benefit consumers of mental health services. Public funds must be used to deliver high-quality health care coverage for public program enrollees. We believe that's the standard that all insurers, county-based or HMOs, need to be held to. I'd like to talk a little bit about some facts that were recently presented to the legislature by the Legislative Auditor's Report. Managed care administrative spending needs more scrutiny. This recommendation applied to HMOs and county-based organizations. The finding was not that there was more or less accountability between HMOs or county-based organizations, but that both types of insurers need more oversight by state agencies, and we agree with this. And I believe Senator Solon's bill, which you'll be hearing this evening, moves that recommendation forward. The legislative auditor highlighted the fact that county-based purchasing organizations have higher administrative costs than the health plans. Minnesota Health Plan's 2006 administrative expenses for public programs averaged 7.9%, and this included the premiums, taxes, and assessments that HMOs pay, which county-based organizations do not pay. If you remove the taxes from this percentage, the HMO admin cost drops to 6.7%, well below the comparable county-based purchasing number of 9.2%. Administrative costs are a major concern with many legislators this year. We need to make sure that we continue to have more spending on health care services and less spending on administrative expenses. The health plans have a better record holding down administrative costs than county-based organizations, as evidenced by the legislative auditor's report. Let's talk about health care quality. The legislative auditor's report made clear that county-based purchasing organizations had, at best, average performance on measures of quality and compliance. This is in contrast with the HMOs that typically exceed national averages on standard HEDIS measures. For 2005 and 2006, the three county-based purchasing organizations scored at or below the Minnesota average in HEDIS quality measures. This is not a reason to stop county-based purchasing. This is a challenge that the county-based organizations and the health plans have every year to continue to try to improve quality. Senator Berglund has pointed out that the health care reform efforts being discussed by the legislature this year have quality as a major component of the payment reform proposal. Competition to drive quality improvement is an integral part of the architecture of her bill. We support this concept and believe that creating county-based purchasing monopolies for public programs will undermine current payment reform efforts. Competition in the delivery of health care to drive improvements in the quality of health care is one of the principles in our reform initiatives that you are discussing. The solution offered by these bills or this proposal for sole source, however, is to push high-performing organizations out of the market. We don't believe that this is consistent with current health care reform efforts, nor do we believe that it is a consumer-focused approach to health care delivery. There are health care these health care programs and the state buying health care services create tremendous challenges for both county-based organizations and the HMOs. I understand the challenges that the counties and the health plans face in the delivery of these services to public program enrollees. I know firsthand the difficulty and challenge of underfunding experienced by counties related to state-mandated programs in health and social services. I worked in counties for almost 10 years. I struggled with the same budget problems that counties are dealing with now. The solution is not to subsidize social service budget shortfalls with health care dollars. And that is what I believe will happen as more and more pressure is brought to bear on county government and county budgets. Minnesota has been a leader in providing health care for low-income citizens for many years. The move to the use of managed care some 20-plus years ago has been adopted and used in dozens of states since Minnesota moved in this direction. I believe that the discussion that we should be having about what is best for consumers is what do they want, what do they need, what quality do they deserve, and what protections need to be in place to ensure that they get the best care possible when they need it. Every citizen, regardless of age, physical ability, address, or income level, deserves some choice in their health care. Right now, that happens in most of Minnesota. These proposals move in the opposite direction. If you want a competitive health care marketplace, you need to keep competition. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bruner. I think the other two of you will have to wait till later, but are there any questions for Ms. Bruner? If not, thank you very much. We are at our hour for recessing until 6. We're going to recess the committee until 6 o'clock, at which time we will finish the testimony and vote on the bills. And then we have to move quickly on that, though, because we have the dental issues tonight, too. So, and we're meeting in this room at 6 o'clock. Please try and be as prompt as you can be, because we have a lot to do tonight.
Are you bringing dinner?
And with that, this meeting is in recess.